You're listening to Tarazi Tuesdays with The Bible as Literature.
Hi, this is Father Mark Boulos, and you are listening to Tarazi Tuesdays with The Bible as Literature podcast. It gets so old. Your universal declarations, your philosophies, your ideologies, your heightened sensibilities, your values, your propaganda, your Kool-Aid, your gods. Hearing Father Paul teach, it hit me like a ton of your rubble. When people hear the words of the biblical prophet, they can't help but respond by preaching their civilization. It's an obvious, if not childlike, attempt to assimilate and digest the biblical prophet to neutralize the bitter pill. How can we make this ours? One only needs to visit the British Museum to understand the mechanism. But prophets cannot be digested. Like a statue of Dorothy Day or Malcolm X, they cannot be made to fit in. You want them to fit because you fit in, but that's why you can't hear Scripture. So you draw a picture of your city, the God of Reagan, and write the name Jesus or Mary on it, and then tell stories about your holy wars. I wish I were talking about fringe extremists, but as we speak, the most evolved, educated, liberal, and enlightened scholars of your civilization conspire to kill Saracens in defense of their gods. There is a tension, Father Paul explains. There are insiders that are opposing the message, and I'm convinced that things were worded in this way because the original authors knew that they were talking against the grain. That's why they included in their stories a preemptive strike against those who would not agree with them. And it is this that is my basis when I critique the liberal arts and reception history. It's tempting to call those praying to kill the Saracens idiots, but this is a grave error. An extremely intelligent person with an Oxford degree in the humanities is not only capable of conspiring to kill Saracens in the service of his gods, but has been doing it openly for the past 6 months. The word you are looking for is not idiot, but monster. If adding modifiers like authentic, evolved, or enlightened helps, please do so. It's your civilization. I am honored to introduce Father Paul on the Bible as Literature podcast, Tarazi Tuesdays.
Let me make a quick point regarding the opponents from within regarding the Greek and the canon and so on. Already in the biblical stories, you have very early, let's take Genesis 34, again, important because it has to do with circumcision, where technically this is the medium through which an outsider becomes your actual sibling, brother. And the sin has nothing to do with that famous rape of Dinah and so on that people like to talk about. And the critique at the end of that chapter, very important, comes on the lips of Jacob, who criticizes his two sons that were the leaders in committing that murder, which is, according to the story, a fratricide. Then, in Exodus and Numbers, you have very early how Aaron and then his sister Miriam revolted against Moses. In Exodus 32 to 34, it's very early, while Moses was still on the mountain, Aaron was building the golden calf. So you hear already early on, way before the kings and the judges, how there is a tension. There are insiders that are opposing the message. And I'm convinced that things were worded in this way because the original authors were of the genes of Tarazi. In other words, they knew that they were talking against the grain. So that's why they included in their stories a preemptive strike against those who would not agree with them. And it is this that is my basis when I critique the liberal arts and the reception history, and I say, you say, why should be the only one to talk, and so on. I'm not the only one to talk. It's the text that is the only one to talk. And the prophet, and I talked about that, but I shall come back as a conclusion, because that is the solution, is to have prophets, a la Jeremiah, channeling the message, and not, you know, giving examples and debating and so on. And look at the debate. There are people from Israel who went to The Hague to bring up the whole issue of the massacre by Hamas and so on to cover up the genocide in Gaza. And people will continue doing that. Look at the news now. Everybody is excited in the West about the killing of whatever, Navalny and so on. Everybody does that. The Bible is unique, and you are the one, and that perhaps will be my challenge to you, to write as soon as possible a commentary on Matthew. I say, love your enemies. Otherwise, how are you going to pray the Lord's Prayer? So the two main opponents of the biblical writers that produced and tried to impose the canon on others is the appeal of Greek philosophy / wisdom. I mean, go for Said. He was in the West and so on, and he was technically Episcopalian, Anglican, and he taught in English and so on. And that's the name of the game. Look how our scholars like to get their degree from even the Eastern Europeans, from Western Europe, and then publish in Oxford University Press and so on. That's the name of the game. So that is one opponent. The other opponent are the ethnicity / identity / nationalism, on the other hand. They were fighting against both at the same time. And Jeremiah, again, central for me. It's at the center of the Bible. He was assigned very clearly. It's the first one in the sequence. Isaiah was not like that. But he was assigned to speak against nations and kingdoms, which means not only Judah, but all nations and kingdoms. And go back to 1 Samuel 8, that's the fall. So either you fall, the appeal to philosophy that fools everybody by saying it is universal, that's why we have always to be students of liberal arts and philosophy. You remember the French philosophers who spoke about humanism. I'm not French, I'm human. How can you be human without being French first? But the trouble is not your being French, it's your stress on French nationalism, on French identity, on French ethnicity. The way our former president, the Hollywood actor Ronald Reagan, who referred to America as the shining city on the hill. Now, I'm saying that the authors, this is definitely their intention, because they attacked both early on in Genesis 1 through 3. That you don't have Shem and Japheth in 1 through 3. You have only Ha'adam. It's only Cain that builds his city. Once you build a city, then if you know your Latin, you know that city and civilization are from the same root. So they attack that by presenting everybody as being from Adam, who is from the Adama. And by the way, to jump, I stress very much in my commentary on Ezekiel, that Ezekiel, although he refers at the end to Eres Yisrael, but he also includes several times Admat Yisrael. And the other preemptive strike against philosophy and wisdom is with the classic story of Genesis 2 and 3 regarding the tree of the knowledge of the good and the evil. Continuing on that line of the same instruction to both insiders and outsiders is found in Joshua, where the law is read aloud to both Israel and also the neighbors or strangers. And then in the book of Joshua, which I mentioned this in my commentary, a couple of times usually you have, and these people are still residing with Israel, but twice you have the turn around on the statement that Israel was still co-living with the others. So it goes back and forth. In other words, it's not always that the others are with. And that personally I would apply to the whole issue of the Palestinians and the Israelis, that they live with us. No, we live with them, and so it doesn't matter. And then let's push with Israel. Caleb inherits Hebron, and I said it in my commentary, the story, I was amazed. It is said twice. Why the repetition? And then ultimate strike. This is in 22, in 24, Joshua refers to Abraham as having followed other gods. So no one is halal.
The Bible as Literature is a production of the Ephesus School Network.